Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Infinite Snap Podcast. It's your boy Shadow DTV. We got my main man, Tom over there, and Justin here down below as well. Guys, if you're wondering why I'm referring to people on the left and the right and the bottom, it's because we have a video version of the podcast here on YouTube. So we're live streaming this on YouTube right now. So if you want to catch us live, we are live on Tuesday evenings, Australian Eastern Daylight Time. So come check it out. But if you're listening or you're watching us back, thank you for joining us as always. Guys, how have you been? You've been playing some Marvel Snap, Tom?
Yep. Yeah. Been actually getting into it a fair bit. What's rank 50? I hit over rank 50 this week. So
that's good. You're making your way to infinite.
Slowly climbing, but
I like it.
Yeah, take a bit of time. Halfway there.
That's good. And Justin, I know you didn't hit infinite last season. How's your grind going this season?
Did you have to remind me? good. I've been grinding really hard this season. I'm at about 95 now.
95. Wow.
Yeah. I've been going hard, using the same deck as per your tips, and retreating when I need to.
Retreat, yeah. That's you know what? It's funny you say that because I've been doing the complete opposite. Yeah. I when I hit infinite, I get into this like zone where I just play every game because I'm like, it doesn't matter. Play with decks, practice, and then when the new season starts, I get really playing games that I know. I'm like, I probably lose this, but I just keep snapping and playing them anyway. So I need to really start like focusing. Sometimes I'm doing other things and I don't focus and I just throw games. So I really need to take my own advice, I guess.
Definitely.
Okay, cool. So we've got a bunch of things to get through. Now today, a very exciting stuff, guys. It is global launch for Marvel Snap. Everyone is super excited. Everyone around the world will finally be able to play Marvel Snap. Obviously here in Australia, we've been lucky that we've been able to play the beta for the last few months, but it's going to be great that we're going to have a big influx of new players. So super excited for that. So topics today, we have. So first up, you might see in the title that we may have lied to you last week. I'm going to apologize for that during the podcast. But we're going to discuss what we've been playing this week, what we've been testing in the lead up to global launch. Global launch is finally here, sort of. I mean, it's a bit of an asterisk on that one right now. We're gonna give you guys the hot tips you need as a beginner to dominate Marvel Snap. So I've asked Justin and Tom to come up with at least one tip that they would like to give to, I guess, new players of the game. And I guess I'll give one, at least one as well. Tom gave me a really we had an interesting conversation today about variants, and it's something that I haven't really heard talked about. So we'll definitely discuss some ideas we've had for the future of variants. And I was also planning to check out the PC client that should have dropped today. Unfortunately, it hasn't, so we'll definitely check that out next week. But guys, we're going to roll the intro and we're going to get straight into it. All right, so guys, I keep losing my notes. So, you guys have been playing Marvel Snap. What decks have we been playing, Justin? What have you been playing?
I have been playing Patriot deck.
Ooh.
He saw a massive buff over the past couple of balance changes with Blue Marvel going down to 5 cost.
Yep.
So it's like, honestly, most of my games, if I have the cards, I do nothing turn 1, nothing turn 2, turn 3, I go for Patriot.
Yep.
Turn 4, I go for Kazar at the same location as Patriot.
Yep.
Turn 5, I go for Blue Marvel at the same location.
Yep.
And then turn 6, I go Ultron. That gives what?
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, they all get to 5.
All the drones get to 5. Yeah, yep, so you're getting 20 power at the other locations,
yeah,
and you're getting 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, about 19
yep.
at the location so that you're playing the cards.
It's almost 20 at each location.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's playing nothing turn 1 and 2.
Yeah, exactly. And the awesome thing about the deck is, for now, most people don't really know what's coming.
Yeah, it's so yeah, it's
like,
interesting.
They see that you're not filling up your other locations, and they go, "Oh, I've got this," and then you just hit Ultron, and then like they just lose. And a lot of the times, I think that's how I've got to 95 as well, pretty quick. Is like a lot of them will snap, and if I have the right cards in hand, I will snap as well.
Yep.
And most of the time it works. I think I've been playing Ultron. I'd play Ultron maybe like 80% of games.
If I
have Ultron, I'll play him. And Ultron is the reason why I win in that deck. I don't really play many other cards in that deck.
Yeah, so it's interesting you say that because I've been playing something similar, and my theory is because Ultron got a buff, so it used to be 7 power, it's now 8 power, and the old ability was that it was only adjacent locations got the drones. Now that it's all other locations, I feel like a lot of people just don't actually really know what Ultron does now. And because he was never really played before, I think people currently just don't actually expect Ultron to come out. So I think that would maybe be contributing to a bunch of your wins, which is a good thing. But time will tell if that stays the case. So
yeah, I have seen the deck being played a lot more recently.
I think we discussed this last week.
You're right. Yeah, I had just started playing it last week. But you're right. I think like before Ultron's buff, no one played him, so no one knows exactly what he does, and no one really expects him.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that. I have also been playing a Patriot deck. You gave me a list, and I kind of tweaked it a bit. So mine is similar to what yours does. I have most of the same cards, but I also have Mystique and Magic in there. Now, the Mystique play works pretty much the same as yours. So turn 3, Patriot. Turn 4, I can play Mystique. Copy Patriot's ability. That's now +4. So just that alone will get my drones to 5. And then on turn 5, I can even play Blue Marvel. Or if we get like Elysium or something, I can play like Onslaught. And then also Ultron, which is pretty nuts. The other cool combo that I've gotten off, like not as often, but if I get a bunch of squirrels and a bunch of rocks with debris, I can go Magic turn 4. So like Patriot and then whatever I want turn 4, Magic turn 5, Onslaught 6, Mystique 7, and whatever else. And so Mystique copies Onslaught, which like times is Patriot times 8, and then I end up with +16 on all my cards. And so like I end up with like maybe a squirrel at one location and like a rock and a squirrel at another location, and they get to like 20, 30 power. And my opponent's just like, how did I lose that? So, yes.
It's pretty insane. I'll definitely chuck. I do have Magic. I might give it a go.
Kind of need Mystique, though. The only reason for Magic.
I would definitely.
The only reason for Magic is so I can play Mystique turn 7. If you don't have, because I know you told me you don't have Mystique, I think it's probably not worth it right now. But yeah, it kind of gives you a second win con. Like if you don't draw Ultron, but you draw the rest, you can kind of just get all your one drops to like 10+, which is like another way to get a like sneaky win. But Tom, there's actually something interesting in chat, and I think you could maybe chat on this a bit. Akaz just says everyone's been spamming Destroyer. Thoughts? So Tom, what have you been playing this week?
I've still been playing Destroyer. I still think that's easiest deck for me to play. I started playing a discard last week. I think I spoke about it, but it didn't feel as good as Destroyer. Like I felt like I just wasn't comfortable with it, so I just stuck with Destroyer.
Yep.
But I have noticed how I've rarely come up against like the decks you're talking about, like the Patriot decks. But when I have, I just can't compete with it.
Yeah. Right.
At all. Because
really?
I know what's coming as well. Because I've seen you guys speak about it. I know what's coming, and I just there's not really much I can do because once you hit those cards, it's pretty. Like 20, around 20 on each location. It's just not easy for me to win two locations that way with what my deck is. So, but I'm still sticking with Destroyer.
Do you run goblins in your deck, Tom?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Because like with the Patriot deck, I know that when I come across a Destroyer deck, yes, they can't compete with like the constant 20 powers across 3 locations, but what they can do is I've got like I was saying before, on one location I've got Patriot, Khazar and something else, and then they will just put a goblin there, and then I can't play Ultron because then he's only getting 8 at one location and then bringing the drones to another location.
Drones,
so like,
yeah.
Those goblins really screw my deck.
I feel like I don't run into enough of them. I think I've run into maybe one or two in the last week or so when you've been talking about it. So
yep.
I don't think it's worth throwing in a tech card for it just yet. And unfortunately, I don't have Patriot to play it myself because I think I have Ultron. So I think I could probably make your deck, Justin, if I got Patriot, because I think I have the rest, but I don't.
You need Patriot.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's the point. I can't do it yet. So once I get that, I'll probably be able to do it. But I know by the time I get that, it'll be nerfed or something will happen and it'll just be dead by the time I can actually play it.
I actually don't know how they would nerf Patriot. Like, if you make him just plus one, then you just play Blue Marvel instead.
Yeah, that would be so good.
It's a bit interesting, isn't it? Like, how does that actually, like, how do you actually achieve a nerf to it?
They would just up his cost.
Yeah, actually, you're right. Make that four. I think that's all you could do. But I don't think it's a problem right now. But, if you hit the combo, like, it feels pretty good right now in the state that Patriot decks are. When I first started playing, I'd see Patriot decks, and I didn't think they were very good. But now, like, as the meta shifted and some cards have changed, Ultron was pretty much... I feel like Ultron was unplayable, and then it just made Patriot decks like really good now because they're, I guess, unpredictable. Like I said, you can go from like 16 power squirrels and rocks, or you can like swarm the entire board with, you know, 5+ drones. So it's a pretty powerful deck. I'm enjoying it.
Definitely enjoying it. The one card that just demolishes it though is Enchantress.
Oh, that's the only thing.
Come across it a lot now.
I was about to say, when you were saying turn three, this, turn four, turn five, I'm like, turn six, Enchantress on your opponent's side.
And then you just lose. You have like the other two locations with like one power drone.
That's right. I actually had a game where my opponent turn six played Rogue and they stole my Patriot ability and it buffed the rocks that I gave them with debris. I still ended up winning, thankfully. I'm like, oh, imagine I lost to my own rock. That would have hurt. But so cool deck. Having fun with it. Destroyer Tom's been like a very very patriotic, if I might say, Destroyer player. It's actually a really good deck, and you've had Destroyer for very early in your pool three.
I think that was probably my like fourth or fifth card.
Yeah, so
I remember I was getting pretty average pool three cards. I remember I got debris early, and I thought, what is the point of this card? Like, what is this? Sounds terrible. Obviously, all the synergies. So it's obviously a good card now. But
yes,
yeah, no, Destroyer early on, and I think it's always still good. So, I got Spider-Man.
I can't wait to get Destroyer.
Yeah, same. I don't have Destroyer either. I really want Destroyer too.
I got Spider-Man this week, and I think we joked about it last week.
Yeah, we
did. You asked me if I got Spider-Man. Yeah. I was like, if I got Spider-Man, you would know. And the second I got it, and I had to screenshot it and send it.
We did know.
So I think Spider-Man's a good addition as well. It doesn't come up a lot, but the only other card, I replaced him for Sandman.
Yep.
And I feel like I'm getting probably about the same use value out of both. So,
yeah, then that's good.
It's fine.
Do you run? Like Armors and Professor X and...
Professor... Like, my ideal play is Professor X just because it guarantees that location.
Yep.
So if you have your Destroy lane, you just have... If you have, like, Winter Soldier, what's his, Bucky Barnes, Nova, or whatever you've got there.
Yep.
And if you lock down... Especially if you get to play Daredevil as well, you know what you can lock down straight away. And then Destroyer, most of the time, depending on how the game goes, can win its location either by itself or with the addition of Colossus or whatever.
So it's funny you say, I was just thinking with Sinister London as one of the hot location for the previous week. No, so I played a Destroyer deck. He dropped armor, duplicated armor to another location. So then when he did his turn six Destroyer, he played the Destroyer at the Sinister London with the armor, and then that duplicated him to the empty location. So he'd played a bunch of cards at the other one. He plays it in the middle and nothing died, and he got two 16-power Destroyers. I was like,
pretty good.
I have struggled with Sinister London.
I was
going to
say,
so
if he hits the wrong location, though, it could also be really bad.
Because especially the point of it is to try and separate your cards into destroyed cards and not destroyed cards.
Yes.
So Sinister London is just so unpredictable that you'll get like a hood with...
he'll get armor. Yeah.
And you're like, shit. Yeah. Like, now I'm just got a -2.
Yeah, that sucks, actually.
I just can't destroy it. So it was very difficult and frustrating to play with. So I tried to play around it and just not play it at Sinister London.
Yep.
Any cards at Sinister London, unfortunately, it just benefited the other players more so. So it was just a bit of a struggle.
Of course it did. So on that, let's get into the featured locations for the past week. So we had Oscorp Tower was the new location. So Oscorp Tower, Justin, could you remind me what Oscorp Tower does? Because I literally never remember.
After turn three, swap the cards at this location.
That's right. So swaps with your opponent. So for this location, I think I was playing Patriot anyway. Yeah. So I was just like, hey, here's a rock. You get a rock. I get a rock. We swap rocks. And it just didn't matter. Or I found my opponent just didn't play cards there till after turn three. I don't. Did you guys encounter? I had a lot of people playing like an Ebony Maw at that location. So yes, they give you a 7-power card, but you also can't play anything there for the next 3 turns.
I didn't see that, but the best play that I saw was Electro. They play Electro there.
Yep.
They get a +1 max power.
Yep.
And the downside to that is you can only play one card ongoing. Per turn, and then he swaps to your side. That was awesome. That got done to me a couple of times.
I literally mentioned that.
I didn't see that once. For the whole
I didn't say it. I didn't say it either. But Denzel mentioned it because he has Electro, and he's like, "This is a good play." And then we like looked it up because like it's got an on reveal ability,
and
which
then ongoing
is on reveals get +1 energy per turn, but then the ongoing is you can only play one card per turn, so that goes to the other person.
That's so cool. That is so big brain.
If I had it, I probably would have played that, but it just didn't work.
I was just like, really, guess I'm retreating then.
Yeah, I don't have Electro, but yeah, that's like, so your opponent gets a Sandman. Like a Sandman, like you can only play one card, and
they get
a Psylocke ability every single turn. Awesome. That's insane. Oh, I wish I knew about that. I actually don't have what was his name, Electro?
Yeah, Electro.
I don't have him either. But like that's super big brain. And no, that did not happen to me. But that's much better.
That didn't happen to me.
That's
either.
Much better than giving me a 7-power Ebony Maw, because I was still able to win those games pretty comfortably. That's so cool.
The only thing, I either avoided it completely or played the hood there. That's literally the only thing
the
I
hood.
Did with it.
That's a good one,
to
too.
I try to avoid it every time. The only other one that I didn't mind too much was sometimes I'd play armor on the third location when I didn't know what it was, and then it'd flip on the other side, so it didn't really...
I
lost the 3 power, but I still got protected.
You still
so
get the protection,
a massive deal.
Yeah, that's cool. It's funny, like a funny Patriot interaction that made me laugh today was the double on reveal. So just giving my opponent like 4 rocks, and it literally blocked both of their other locations. And so they had to retreat because it was like turn 4 and they'd already lost 2 locations. They obviously didn't have a way to buffer. It was quite funny. Interesting location, Oscorp. I don't know why I went on that tangent. It just came into my head.
I think you're talking more about Sinister London.
Sinister London, yeah, true. Sinister London did the exact same thing, which was pretty pretty fun. So yeah, Sinister London was the hot location. So featured location is 48 hours. Did you guys have any issues with Oscorp Tower actually for that 48 hours? Didn't bother you?
I had my own issues. The first time I came across it, I didn't understand like what was going to happen. I thought for some reason that, because it was on the left-hand side, and then I thought that if I played cards there, they would swap to the right location for some reason. Started spamming like all these cards there, and then they just flipped to the other side. I'm like, what?
I love it. I think my first game, I was kind of like, do I play like bad cards there? But then I realized, like, if they just play nothing there, I get nothing, and they get my, like, bad 1 and 2 power cards.
Yeah.
But, like, they still get stuff that I don't have. So, yeah, I just either avoided it or, like, put bad tokens there for them. Cool. So, yeah, Sinister London was the hot location, which is the 24-hour location on a Sunday. It's kind of funny for me because I generally like to make my Marvel Snap content on Sunday. Like, I do Saturday sometimes, but I make most of it on the Sunday. And so I pretty much always end up with that hot location for my videos. So I maybe have to think of another day to actually do them, because it ends up being like, it can just make my videos awful, because like if I did Sinister London and like say I wanted to play like, I don't know, a Hala deck, I don't want to duplicate and fill the board because I want all my big 6 drops to come out at the end of the game. But like other than that, I think I actually didn't play Patriot. Did you play Patriot, Justin? For Sinister London?
I played Patriot. Yeah, I played Patriot for Sinister London.
Yep.
It didn't really work out for that deck, just because you're constantly filling the board.
Yes.
You're constantly filling each location.
Yep.
So you don't you don't really want to duplicate. And, like, the yep. only thing that you would want to duplicate is, like, Patriot.
Yeah.
But, like, if you start duplicating all your buffing cards, like Patriot, Blue Marvel, Khazar, Onslaught, then you've got none of the...
things to buff.
None of the cards. Yeah, none of the things to buff. That's... So there's, like, no point. So it was kind of average. And the bad thing that I was coming up against is goblins. Like, they're just so yep. annoying.
Yeah, it is frustrating. I'm trying to think. Yeah. I switched to something else for a little bit. I think I was playing like a... I was playing like an ongoing sort of deck with Iron Man, because duplicating Iron Man can be pretty broken in itself. Like, if I had it one game where it was like turn seven and the opponent played like death, duplicated death, and they're like probably thinking, how do I lose? And my Iron Man hit the right location. Like, my other location was empty and or it had like one card, and Iron Man hit the perfect location and like had like 40-50 power at both locations. So yeah. I think it was just like I found ongoing cards to be good. But then yeah, I guess on reveals also work well, because you're getting the on reveal ability twice. I think Sinister London was fine for the 24 hours. I feel like any longer and it would have been annoying, because it is a bit limiting in your deck choices. But other than that, I think it was quite fun for the day. Tom, any thoughts on Sinister London?
Yeah, like, when it's only a day, it's not too big of a deal, but I probably didn't utilize it enough. Like, I probably should have played Discard when that was out. I don't know, I just didn't play much.
Yeah, so it's one of those things. Sometimes, like, Sunday, you don't really play much, hey?
Yeah, so when, like, you're busy, but then you see him there, and he's like, oh, it's not worth the effort changing the deck to what will fit it. You just kind of, I just end up just playing what I'm already playing, so.
Yeah, I think I'm like you. Like, I try and play what I'm already playing, and if it works, it's, like, sweet. If it's, like, completely awful, like, my example, like, on Sunday, I think I tried a Hela deck. Well, no, I looked at my Hela deck and went, oh, maybe I should try this again, and I saw Sinister London, and I was like, this is an awful idea. This is not going to work at all. So yeah, I guess it's, I think the 24 hours is like a good sweet spot for it. Did you want to say something, Tom?
Yeah, no, I had a good win against the Hela deck.
Yeah, yeah, go.
They played in, it wasn't Sinister London, sorry. It was the on reveal twice location.
Kamar-Taj. Yeah,
Kamar-Taj. Yeah. And so they had a Hela deck. And they put Invisible Woman there. So I'm like, okay, I know what's happening here. And then I drew Cosmo. So I just played Cosmo there.
Yep.
So the second they revealed at the end of the game, nothing got discarded. So they played Hela and that was one.
That's so
really
good.
Nice.
Really good.
It's funny you say that. So I saw an Invisible Woman come out and I'm like, yep, this is a Hela deck. So I'm getting ready and nothing good got discarded. And I'm like, ooh, maybe we're okay here. So I played out to the end. This is what was hidden behind Invisible Woman. It was full, like, full Wong shenanigans. It was Wong, Mystique, White Tiger. And he just filled the board with seven power White Tigers. And I was just laughing because I'm like, yep, Hela deck. Yep, he only discarded like a Hulk or something. And I'm like, yeah, this is fine. Who cares? And then that happened and I was like, oh, this guy's like big brain. he tricked me into thinking he was playing a Hela discard deck. Cool. So those are the locations, featured locations. I think they were good locations this week. Oscorp Towers, like, it's not super, it doesn't, like, completely warp your match. It doesn't completely change what decks you have to play. So I thought that was a good featured location. It'll be interesting how they handle featured and hot locations with global launch. I reckon it'll stay how it is for now, but it'll be interesting to see what Second Dinner do with the hot and featured locations. Do you think Marvel Snap can sustain having a new location every week? That's 52 a year. Do you think that is sustainable? Let's do it in terms of, like, do you think that the dev team can actually come up with a weekly location? And do you think at some point they would have to remove locations, like rotate locations to keep the game not, like, out of hand?
I think it'll get to a point where it's just too random and you'll play one location like once every 100 games.
Yeah,
and
that's my point, yeah.
So they might do like a bit of a rotation and then they can always just bring ones back as feature locations that they rotate out. So they can always do that as well.
That's
true. In terms of lore and, you know, material, I'm sure they'll have plenty of locations. Like, they'll literally can have hundreds from each IP. So I think they'll be fine in that regard.
I think the IP stuff's fine. Justin, I'll get your take. I think, like, it's just like having that pressure to come up with a new location every week, even if they, you know, come up with 20 at a time, I feel like just having a new one every week would be like, it's a lot of pressure. And like, how many, I think of like an expansion of a card game, you get like 100 new cards and like maybe half of them are usable and the rest is just like whatever. But featured like locations are a staple in the game. They're in every single match. So you can't really have locations that, when I say bad, you can't have a location that just does nothing. Whereas in card, like in an expansion, you can have cards that are just useless and no one cares because they just don't use them. So what's your thoughts, Justin? Like, do you reckon they can sustain doing a new location every week?
Yeah, I don't know. I actually don't think it's sustainable, probably. Not long term.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've got heaps and heaps of ideas to last them a good year or so, probably from now. But like, yeah, how many ideas can you come up with for a location? Unless, like, you know, eventually there's going to be other keywords or other trigger effects that are going to come into cards, which then they'll be able to, you know, bring in a whole new pool of locations because of those trigger effects. So it probably is sustainable, but I don't think they need to. I would rather them have like a location every fortnight and then a character a fortnight.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
And alternate that. So, you know, we still have something new and fresh every week, but it's not always a location.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think like in just while you're chatting, thinking about it, like I think of card games that have been around for like, you know, 20, 30 years, and they're still making like new mechanics and new cards. So I guess, the like sky's the limit in the end. And, you know, in 10 years' time, Marvel Snap could look completely different. You know, there might be, there could be 5 locations for all we know. So I think it is maybe not weekly is sustainable, but I feel like launch of the game, everyone's hyped. You know, the dev team are probably just like working their butts off, just making, you know, new locations. Like they're probably, I just imagine someone like they're getting ready for work, they're in their breakfast and then bing, this is a great idea for a location. You know, rock up to work. Oh, what about this? And just, you know, write it all down and, you know, just always have something ready in the background.
I actually think it's definitely sustainable.
Okay, interesting.
I think us three could come up with
mind.
Like, yeah, I've changed my mind. I think us three could come up with like 10 ideas for a location like in a day. And then we should actually do that. And then once they bring new mechanics to the game, like I said, it just opens up like a whole new kettle of fish.
Yeah, yeah. How about let's make a YouTube video where we'll come up with 10 location ideas. We'll do it together. But, like, that sounds fun.
We can do that.
I feel like they could also just do variants of ones they've already done. Like there's like those ones that are like
negative powers.
Negative one. This one's negative two. This one's negative three.
Yeah.
Like worst case scenario, you can just chuck something together like that. Like
just negative five, you know, negative. Just keep
what's
going.
What's like the one that's all cards here plus 5 power? What's that one
called? I couldn't tell you, but I know what you're talking about.
They could do plus 10. They could do plus 3. Like, you know what I mean? Like they can still something based on what they've already done.
I just thought of a good idea right now.
There we go. Okay, let's all come up with one idea off the top of our head. See how easy it is. Go, Justin.
All right, I'll go first. I don't know what they're going to call it. Let's call it...
Forget about the name. Just give me the idea.
About the name yet.
The name doesn't matter. All they can add whatever they want.
When you play a card here, play it also on the opposing side.
Ooh. So it's like Oscorp Tower, but you both get the card. Interesting.
I feel like Destroyer would just be OP. You just win the game.
Why? Because you kill all their cards.
Destroys their whole board.
Okay, yeah, what if it was
chances,
like all, everything?
Chances are it would be filled up in the first couple of turns.
That's
because,
true.
You want to stop
it. Only four
you want
cards
to stop
need
the Destroyer.
To play that location.
That's right. That's right. Strategy. That's a good one. All right, Tom, do you have one off the top of your head? It's hard, isn't it?
There's negative 4 power at each card.
Okay.
Power.
I mean, hey, that's valid. I'll try and think of one too. We've got the chat are jumping in. So Drugor says, on reveal, destroy a card at a random location. So that's like a gambit ability. I think that's... Well, it wouldn't be on reveal. It would be when you play a card here, destroy a card at a random location. Yeah, that's like... That makes sense. Could be like destroys their card or destroys your card.
They could also do locations for the character effects because they already have some.
That's already what they're doing. Yeah, like there's very similar effects. Off the top of my head, my location is Second Dinner. Please hire me. No, hire Justin because he actually has ideas. Okay, mine is going to be you can't play 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 cost cards at this location.
Wait, what was that?
You can't play 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 cost cards at this location. Okay, so let me dumb that down. You can only play 1 cost cards at this location. There you go.
Wouldn't you just use that with the wording?
Yeah, that's the wording. That's why I changed it. Because it makes way more sense. I couldn't think of another one. Look at Justin go.
When you play a card here, move it 1 location to the right.
It's kind of like Bifrost.
Yeah, but it's
every time you do
you,
it.
As you
every
play the
time
card.
You do it. So you would have to fill up OP the location to the right to then play cards there and leave them
what
there.
What happens if it's the third location? Just does nothing?
Then it just does nothing.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Can Bifrost? Oh, no, because Bifrost moves all cards.
Bifrost moves all cards,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting, interesting. What if it's like when you play a card, it moves to the right while that location's there? Just all cards, no matter where you play them. Nah, because then move decks are just OP. Move decks just when they imagine that location's featured.
Yeah,
just everyone
true.
Plays move decks. Yeah, 100%. All right, so there we go. I guess we're just devs now, aren't we? Yep, cool.
Yep.
So
this is probably how they do it as well. They probably just sit in a room, throw ideas, and see
that's
what
how,
sticks.
How else do you make up things? That's right. Like that's how a design team. That's what you do. You just like you throw out ideas and then pick the one that's not crap. All right, so guys, global launch for Marvel Snap was meant to be, well, not meant to be today. It was meant to be the 18th. Now, it is the 18th in the Northern Hemisphere. Well, not the Northern Hemisphere. Like, look at me. I know about time zones, guys. No, so it's on the other side of the world, I guess. It is technically the 18th now, the 18th of October 2022, but it is extremely early in the morning. So I'd assume the game won't be dropping until the dev team are actually in the office to combat anything that goes wrong. So I would assume that, so by the time you're listening to this podcast, if you're not with us live, by the time you listen to this, I would say that the game will be launched worldwide. Marvel Snap should be out everywhere. We were going to look at a few things and discuss some things like the PC client, take a look at it on the podcast. But unfortunately that is not available yet. So I thought today what we would go through is some, some beginner tips on, because there's going to be a big influx of new players coming to the game, which is really exciting, really excited for people to finally get to experience the game. So I thought we'd basically give our favorite Marvel Snap tip for new players or something we wish we knew when we started playing. And then we'll discuss that from there. We can do a couple, but I thought I'd get you all to think of at least one. But before we do that, we will have a big discussion about global launch next week's episode. So we'll go through any changes to the game. It'll be good because we would have had a week to experience all the new players coming to the game. So, you know, on social media, we'll be able to see what they're saying about it. If people are enjoying it, if they're happy with the collection level system, I reckon that's going to be another, that talking point is going to come back. I think all the things we complained about at the start of beta, all of those things are just going to come back in force again because all the new players are finally going to be experiencing them and being like, what the heck? So I think that's going to be interesting. How about, Tom, how about we start with your, do you have a tip for beginners that you wanted to give them?
Yeah, I'd say especially early on, I think a tip I would use, and I think it's a lot, it's useful for a lot of card games that use like energy or some sort of cost. My tip would be just try and utilize all of it.
Yep.
So like, for example, if you've got if you've got 4 cost, 4 energy.
Yep. So 4 energy.
Instead
yep.
of playing, instead of playing a 3 cost, it might be better to play 2 costs, even though the three cost might be a better card.
Yep.
Then each individually than the other two, but playing 2 of those together probably just gives you that extra. You just get 2 cards, can help you out in any situation.
Yep.
Same. And then you can also play that 3 cost on turn 4 with a 1 cost. Like, so you just can get more out of.
Yep.
your energy, just utilize as much as you can to get as much out there.
Yeah, so you're saying to utilize as much energy as you can each turn. It's interesting you say that, because there's a lot of games, a lot of card games with energy or, you know, a resource. Generally, the more the person who uses the most resources generally wins the game. Like, obviously, that's not entirely true 100% of the time. But I guess the person using their resources more effectively and efficiently is going to be at an advantage. So I really like that tip. I think on what you said, there's also the reverse where you might have five energy, but in the situation, sometimes just playing the three cost card is better than the two cost cards. So like, yes, the two cards you're playing that cost two energy, you're using up four energy. So, you know, you're using more resources, but especially like Justin and I were talking about our Patriot deck earlier, and apologies to any new players. A lot of these cards are going to be going straight over your head, but hopefully as you learn the game, you're going to understand a lot more about what we're discussing. But yes, I think that like that's a three cost card, but that can have a major impact on the rest of my board and it can buff a lot of cards. So I think you're right in that you want to be using the most energy most of the time, but every now and then there's going to be a situation where you're better off playing that less energy. You're not using all your energy, you're wasting some of it, but the overall benefit can be a lot better. Like, especially in the Patriot deck, I could play two cost cards that have no abilities. That's the point of the cards, no abilities, so I can buff them, but then maybe I'm not getting a good enough chance to play Patriot. Like, I don't want to get to turn six and then I play Patriot and nothing else. It's kind of, you know, a bit of a waste. Then I guess you've got to think about how you could waste energy in the future as well. Like, do I play the 2-2 cost now, or on turn six, am I going to have 3-2 costs that I can play? So, yeah, I think that's a really, really good tip for beginners. I think it's, use energy efficiently. That's a really good tip.
I think also probably another part of the tip is just take your time in what you're playing.
Yep.
Because I think if you just think, oh, I'll play the highest cost card, it might not be the best play, even situationally.
Yep.
So I think more so as well, just think about what you're playing and not just play the highest cost card or the card you think is best, because sometimes other players might be better. Like you said, you might be worth waiting to play the card instead of playing it straight away or playing it at a certain time. It'll be get more beneficial.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right. It makes me think kind of like... I've lost my train of thought now. so I guess you're right in that. Sorry, can you repeat what you said? My brain's like full died.
Oh, just thinking about what thinking about what you're playing.
Instead
of just
playing
the
I remember
what you think is the best card.
I remember my point now. So I was listening to you and I was like thinking like, this is like a tip that even I still use today. Like sometimes I look at my hand and go like, oh, I've got Ultron in hand. I play Ultron because he's a six cost card and that's what I want to do. Like I want to fill up the board with the drones. But then if I look at the buffs that I currently have, if I don't have Patriot out, maybe I only have Blue Marvel, then those drones are only going to get to two power. So sometimes playing, like we said before, maybe playing a 3-2 cost cards ends up being the better play. And even sometimes I fall into the trap of just like, oh, it's turn six, I want to play a big six cost card. But sometimes, you know, I've got Patriot and Mystique in my hand. Playing Patriot and then Mystique on turn six is a way better plan than playing a big Onslaught with no, you know, nothing to buff. Or even an Ultron. Like playing an Ultron on turn six, you get this great 8 power card, but then all your little drones are weak. So, you know, you're definitely right in that. So you want to maximize your energy. Any new players, you want to be using up as much energy as you can, but you also want to be making sure that that you have, you know, cards you can play on the next turn. Sometimes, you know, I'll play a 2-2 cost cards on turn four, and then I'll have like a six cost. Let's say I've got a 3 cost card, a 2 cost card, and a one cost card, and so it's turn three. I could play the one cost card. It's turn two. I play the 2 cost card, then I've got the 3 cost card next turn, and then I've got this 1 cost card just floating. So I want to be anticipating that I'm going to have a 3 cost card to play on that turn. Like if I've got 2-3 cost cards, like on turn four, I'll be able to play. I've like completely lost my train of thought. What I'm saying is, like, I find.
I'm just laughing because you said a 1 cost card.
What I'm saying.
You said a 1 cost card. No, and it just made me think. It just made me think on reveal, a fixed trigger twice.
No, I definitely mispronounced that. So let's. I notice on turn two a lot, I will just play the two cost card, even though I might have 2 1 cost cards. And then, like, on turn three, I'll, you know, say I draw a. Say on turn four, I now have a 3 cost card. Say turn five, I'd have the 3 cost and the 2 cost. And then I just get stuck with the 1 costs as, like, not enough energy to play them sometimes. So sometimes, when we're talking about maximizing your energy, you need to think about your future turns. Like, you don't want to get to turn five and you have 2 4-cost cards and that's it. And you're like, you're floating 1 energy when, you know, last turn you played a 1 cost card, like 3 1-cost cards. You could have saved one of those, played a 2-cost card, and then you wouldn't have wasted energy. So yeah, I think like just even playing the cards on the right turn is very important. So you, like Tom said, you don't waste the energy. Because I do it all the time. I go, yeah, I want to play Patriot now. Turn three, I'm playing Patriot. And then turn four, I have like a 1-cost card and like nothing else good to play. Like a 5-cost and a 1-cost. I'm like, oh, 4-cost and another 3-cost and a 1-cost. And I can't play both. Oh my gosh, I'm butchering my numbers. I have a 3-cost.
Use energy effectively. As
I like
Tom
it.
Said.
Do you know what's
use
the worst thing?
Use energy effectively.
I know exactly what I'm trying to say, but I can't verbally like say it.
Saying the 1 cost and 2 cost, the same just, cost just throws you off because you're saying cost so many times.
Guys, the cards cost. That is the takeaway from that tip. Chat says, don't play the Wong cost card.
Very true.
Okay, so Justin, what is your tip for new players?
There are so many small tips that you can give new players, but yep. My biggest tip, if they want to climb the ranks in Marvel Snap, is something that I learn and then forget and then remind myself and then abide by it and then forget it again and then learn, is use, not necessarily use the same deck, but know the deck that you're using.
Yep.
So, like, for last season, I was mucking around with so many different decks. I was having fun regardless of my rank.
Yep.
But I was not climbing the ranks because I was just using so many different decks, trying out new cards, trying out different ideas and whatever. This season, I've stuck with the Patriot deck. I know exactly what it needs to do to win.
Yep.
I know exactly what cards I need and what combination of cards I need.
Yep.
I know, you know, by turn four, just by looking at my hand and by the board state, I know if I have a chance of winning, if I have a good chance of winning, or if I'm just going to lose.
Yep.
And therefore, you know if you should retreat or not. And that just equivalates to rising in the ranks, basically, getting cubes.
That's a great tip, just using, you know, learning your deck properly. Like, obviously, we want to test out new cards and, you know, that's the fun of Marvel Snap, being able to play so many different decks and, you know, still have a chance of winning games consistently. My next question on top of that is, do you think that new players should be worrying about their rank straight away, or do you think they have time to just play whatever and have fun and then learn the game as they're going?
They definitely should not worry about the ranks straight away.
Yep.
Like, you really need to start unlocking some decent pool 3 cards, I think. Like, there's so many videos. Like, every content creator makes videos about, like, you know, good pool 1 decks or good pool 2 decks. They're good while you're in pool 1 or pool 2. Yep. Like, they're decent. But if you want to hit infinite, it's hard to hit it with those decks. I think you really have to grind to hit it with those decks, but I think once you start unlocking pool 3 cards, then you can really get competitive and build a good deck that you can stick with.
So I like what you said about the like the different pools of cards. So the game's split up into different pools, so you know, you get, you know, pool 1 cards as a beginner, and then as you level up you start getting, I guess, more interesting cards with, you know, different strong, not even stronger abilities, just different abilities. They add, like, I guess, harder mechanics to the game. I notice a lot of videos that are like, oh, you know, you get to infinite with pool 1 only cards, get to infinite with pool only 2 cards. And I think pool only 2 cards?
Yeah.
Only pool 2 cards. The thing that I don't think people realize is that currently the matchmaking system tends to be based on your collection level. So they're trying to match people with, you know, pool 1 and 2 cards with other people with those cards. because nothing would be worse than, like, say you're a pool one player and you get to, like, rank 95 and then all of a sudden every deck you're versing, Patriot, Mr. Negative, and you're just playing against all these cards that you've never seen before. How are you supposed to know what they do? How are you supposed to anticipate? Like, usually ranked games, you know, the top of the ranks is just all the meta decks, whereas I feel like Marvel Snap is a bit different in that. And a lot of the time I see these like people saying, oh, I got to Infinite with only pool one cards. And then it's like, but they're only, you know, halfway through pool two maybe. So like that is their pool of cards. So obviously that's what they're going to be playing with. That's what they're going to know. And that's probably what they're going to be coming up against. And I think you guys can probably attest to when we started playing the game, I feel like everything I versed was just pool one, pool two cards.
Yeah,
I didn't see any like strong decks. And I mean, when we started the podcast, we were playing our favorite quiz show, which we'll be playing at the end, Snap Who. I felt like there were so many cards that I didn't know. And now I'm at the point where I'm like, now that I'm a higher level, even though I don't see the card that often, I've seen it. Whereas initially I was seeing, you know, Odin, White Tiger, and all the starter cards. Whereas now it's like, I feel like we get to see all these meta decks a lot more often.
I remember our discussions when we first started playing. We're like, oh, it was a Snap Who. We're like, oh, no pool three cards.
No pool three cards. Because we didn't know them. And even now when I see like a Odin White Tiger deck, there will be strong pool three cards thrown in with it. So they've turned a pool one only deck into this like fairly strong pool three deck. So yeah, I definitely think that's something to take into consideration. Your rank is not important at the start of the game. Of course, if you want to rank up and try and hit Infinite, definitely go for it. But you should be just learning all the cards, learning what your deck beats, learning what your deck loses to, because that's the only way you're going to, I guess, know when to retreat, sort of thing.
I kind of feel like, just by what you said, which was a good point, that they new players should be worrying about rank because they're only playing against players that have a similar collection level.
Sure.
Therefore, their decks can be just as strong as anyone else's. So why not aim for a high rank?
I think for sure. I think the only thing is to get to a high rank, you need to be retreating often. And for maybe your first 2 weeks, if you're retreating and not seeing how the game was going to play out, you're not actually going to learn if you were going to win or lose. I think, let's say maybe the first 2 weeks to a month, depending how often you play. If you play each day, you know, a few weeks, just to learn like, oh, okay, if they play Odin now, I lose this game. But you're not going to know that until you experience it a few times. So I think that's kind of because I've always been adamant, like, make sure you're retreating, make sure you're retreating, you know, that's how you go up the ranks. But if you're retreating and you don't actually know if you were going to win or lose, then you might be retreating when you shouldn't be. Sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then the opposite, if you just let every game play out and that's how you always play Marvel Snap, after a month, you're going to know, okay, I lose this every time. So you then should get into the habit, but I can understand, you know, like, I feel like for the first month, and Tom can probably attest to this, I just never retreated. We just played out every game. Our ranks just kept going up, down, up, down, up, down. But I feel like I learnt all of the cards. I learned how much power they can get in a turn. And I think that really helps you in the long run. Maybe not your rank initially, but I think it's a bit of a balance when you start the game. You want to learn as much as you can, but you also, I guess, want to be not losing every game.
Yeah. I think understanding the game is probably one of the most important tips as well. Like
knowing
how to play. And like you said, by turn five, you should kind of know if you're going to win or lose.
That's right.
But you're not going to know if you're going to win or lose if you just retreat because you think, oh, I don't think my turn's going to be that good.
That's right.
What are they going to do? You know, you could think, oh, I'm in a good position. You know, I can play this card and I think I'll win. But then they'll play a card you either haven't seen before or a combo you haven't seen before. And then you're like, so next time you come up against that on turn five, you're like, they could do this. Maybe I should retreat. So I think you're definitely right in that regard. Just play it out early. Learn what is going to beat you. Because it's like, You don't want to get beaten by what you know is coming.
Yes. So it's exactly that. Once you know it, so I actually started writing down the things that I lost to if I didn't know what the card was. Because early on, like, obviously we didn't know a lot of the cards, but I'll never forget the first time I lost to Magneto and I wrote down this card because I looked at my board and I went, I can't lose here. I'm going to have this big board. I win these two locations comfortably, and Magneto pulled all my cards away to that location. So yes, I he won that location because I had all my ongoing cards buffing each other. I had Claw buffing the location. I had all this good stuff happening, and he ends up winning. And I'm like, this Magneto card is amazing. In the end, I realize it's not, you know, broken or anything. It's just I didn't know that that was a possibility. Like, I didn't know that he could play this strong Magneto card. Now that I'd written it down, I vowed to never lose to Magneto again. I'm sure I have.
Telling us about this card because I've never experienced it. You're like, this is card Magneto, and it just moves to like,
three and four cost
cards or whatever, and it's like 12 power. Like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah. So I think I just only played Zoo decks from that day forward, only one cost cards. But yeah, so I think you just need to learn what you lose to, but then you also want to learn what you beat. You can only do that by playing out your turn sixes. But once you start learning those things, once you start getting a grasp, your collection level gets higher. That's when you want to start just like now. Well, I said earlier that I've been a little bit not super diligent with my retreating, but like Justin's gone up, you know, 40 ranks in like a week because he's just been diligent in retreating. He knows his matchups. He knows the deck well. And I mean, that takes you most of the way, to be honest.
Yeah, it's probably if your tip is knowing when to retreat, then probably utilizing all of our tips is what's got me 40 rank in a couple of weeks. It's utilizing my energy, knowing my deck, and retreating when I need to.
I guess I hadn't really given my tip, but I guess my tip is early in the game to just play out the game, learn all the cards, learn how you win, learn how you lose. Justin, learn your deck inside and out. Make sure you know what locations help it, what locations make it hard to play the deck. And then Tom, of course, making sure you're utilizing your energy well and not always just going with the obvious play of, oh, turn six, I play the six cost card. Turn five, I play the five cost card. You have a lot of options in Marvel Snap on what to play each turn. And sometimes that can be the difference between, you know, oh no, you get to turn six and you go, I have to retreat. But if I'd done this on turn five, maybe I actually would have been in a winning position. So you also, I guess, want to, you know, analyze your games. I think that's some good beginner tips, guys.
I thought that someone would have said something about, so retreating is retreating is not the biggest thing in Marvel Snap. The biggest thing in Marvel Snap is snapping. Knowing when to snap and when to retreat is so important.
Okay.
Like, it's literally in the title, Marvel Snap. You got to know when to snap.
You got to know when to snap, guys.
Yeah, you have to know. And I think also, do not be scared of snapping and then retreating, because sometimes when I snap, I'm like, oh, now I got to see this game out because, like, I've snapped. Yeah. But you would rather lose the two cubes than the four or eight cubes. Yep. Like, if you think that you're going to lose, then you will always lose because there's that possibility of something going wrong. If you know that you can't lose or that, like, you should have this in the bag,
yep,
then snap.
Do you know what happens sometimes? Sometimes I snap on like turn five or six. I snap and I'm just like, they're rattled. And then they snap back and I go, am I winning by enough? And then I'll look at my board and go, you know what? Maybe I do lose this. Like, if he plays this, like, if I can think of two, three cards where I lose and I know, I'm like, yeah, that deck probably plays that. I'm like, I'm happy to retreat and lose those four cubes when I, like, yeah, like, losing eight cubes compared to four, you're losing half. Like, that's way better than the eight cubes. So obviously you want to avoid losing as many cubes as possible, but sometimes you're right. Sometimes you get to the four cubes and you just have to, like, cut your losses, I guess.
And sometimes people bluff as well in that situation.
So that's what,
I know, I've done it. I've done it before where people have snapped me. I'm like, I don't think I can win, but I'll just snap back. Like, who cares? And then they either retreat.
Yep.
Or they just panic and you still somehow win. Like, don't let what other people do influence you. I think if you think you're in a good position, don't second guess yourself.
Yeah. If you look at your board and you know you can't think of like anything hit they could be playing that, for sure. If you're confident, like some games I'm like, man, I'm about to drop 20 powers worth of drones at my other two locations and this location's at like, you know, 20. I'm like, he's got nothing. And nine times out of 10, I win those games. But then you're right. If they snap back, that's what you want. If you're in a strong, dominant position and you're going to catch your opponent off guard, that's your free eight cubes right there.
Yeah. Sometimes I just get a bit, like, when I've got,
you get scared off,
you know, yeah. my Professor X set up and I got Destroyer and, you know, Nova and Bucky Barnes ready to go. I know if I play Destroyer, I'm going to play Destroyer.
Yep.
Like, there's almost no chance I lose this.
Yes.
And then they snap back and it's just the greatest thing because you just know you're going to win. And then yeah. you win comfortably and you're like, what were they doing?
Yes.
Like, it's just like, that's a good feeling where you just know it's going to happen. So I think just back yourself as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, back yourself when you've got a strong position. Obviously, don't back yourself if you're getting smashed. But like, yeah, for sure. Yes, Justin.
Yeah, and you got to think about the decks. This just comes with experience and playing the game. But like, you got to think about what cards your opponent might have in their deck.
Yes.
And also an important one is how much they cost. So what I've been coming up against with this Patriot deck is Destroy decks, and Destroy decks always run Killmonger.
Yep.
So I know that when I play my Ultron. And if I go first that turn,
yep.
he's going to spawn all these drones and then Killmonger's going to yes. kill them. But the thing is, you have to remember that Killmonger's 3 cost, which means that they're only going to be dropping him and
yep.
maybe another 3 cost card. They're not going to be dropping like this massive card. So, yep. yeah, you just have to think about it.
And even on that, I had a scenario where my opponent played Killmonger on turn 6. They killed off all of my squirrels. They killed off all of my rocks. But then they were revealing first. Then I played my Ultron and I swarmed yeah. the board and destroyed them. And it was kind of like they were probably better off just playing Destroyer. They might have actually had a chance of winning. Where, well, actually, no, they probably don't. But like that was probably in the end. The Killmonger to them was the ace. Like they were winning 8 cubes, yeah. easy 8 cubes. But then they didn't anticipate the Ultron. So yeah, I guess knowing, yeah, like you said, knowing your deck, it just comes down to knowing your deck and knowing what cards they could have in their deck for sure. I think that's a really good tip. Cool. So that is our beginner tips, guys. There's a ton of other ones we could give you. Like there's plenty of content that you can find a lot of these tips. You'll learn a lot of it as you play the game. I mean, we didn't really get these tips from anywhere. We kind of just played the game. And I think it's just good to be able to tell new players this stuff so they don't have to go through all the bumps that we did. I think like I probably... for the first month, didn't realize how important retreating was to the game. Like, I think just coming from a background of games where you concede and it just counts as a loss. But when it really clicked that retreating is a part of a strategy and not actually like counting as a loss, that it can actually, retreating actually helps you go up the ranks rather than going down. So yeah, I think you're right. Once we got our head around the game, now we've, you know, I feel like I wouldn't say we're super qualified as, you know, Marvel Snap experts, but I feel like we've played the game enough that we can, you know, pass these tips on to new players. So that's really cool. Thanks for coming up with those tips, guys. That was very good. Now, Tom, this is the hot topic that you discussed with... we didn't even discuss it. You mentioned it. And I had a few things I wanted to say about it. But we've been talking about variants a lot on the podcast and artwork and the bad word, monetization. But yes, it's not actually a bad word. A question, have you, Tom, bought any variants with like actual money yet?
No, I haven't.
No, so you've been buying Season Pass, but hasn't bought... Justin?
I've been buying Season Pass, yep.
Any variants?
No, I haven't bought any variants either.
Interesting.
I haven't bought any with gold that I've saved up either.
Yeah, neither have I.
Me neither.
We're just competitive players. We want to unlock all the cards.
Yeah.
I think this week was the first time that I considered it. There was a really cool Ultron variant, and I was like, oh, I really want it. But 700 gold in Australia works out to $15, which is, I mean, I think when I think back about it, I'm like, $15 is like lunch. It's like lunch and a coffee. Like it's not going to break the bank, but that's one variant I'm going to get for my deck. So it's kind of like, it's very hard to justify sometimes.
Yeah,
but
I cannot justify it. $15 for a digital card. Like if it was a cool variant of like a physical card, I'd be like cool, but not a digital card.
I'm super offended. No, I'm not even offended. You're just like roasting me for the hundreds, not even hundreds, probably thousands of dollars I've spent on Hearthstone, which
yeah, but
are
they're not variants.
Digital,
but they're
digital cards. You said digital cards.
Okay, sorry. Digital variants.
Okay, digital
variants.
Cosmetics. Cosmetics.
Yeah,
okay,
cosmetics.
Okay. That's better because I was like, oh. cool. So I actually haven't bought any either, but yeah, that one, I was very close to buying the Ultron one. So Tom brought up the point that he has He's playing a Destroyer deck, and he has a really cool variant for the Hood, which is a pretty cool card. Now, Tom, what was your gripe with the Hood variant?
So this was like one of the only variants I've gotten where I'm like, I actually play this card.
Yep.
So I can actually use it. I got it from the season pass, so I was very happy. So when I played the Hood, I don't know what I really expected, but I played the Hood, and then for those who don't know, when you on reveal, you add a demon to your hand, which is like a 1/6 token.
Yep.
But the demon is just the same artwork as the regular Hood.
Yep. So no variant.
I thought, because the could you bring up the
variant?
Yeah,
for sure. Like, yeah, yeah. I can definitely keep talking.
Just because it's like a, kind of like a anime type art style, I would describe it as.
Yeah. I'll bring it up. You discuss your issue with it.
It's not so much an issue, but it'd be cool if the token that it spawned was consistent with the variant art style.
The artwork.
Because like it's not a like I said, it's literally not an issue at all. But
so that's the regular artwork for the Hood.
That's cool artwork, there. To be honest.
And then I actually need to bring up the desktop to show you the rest. So this is the demon token that you get. So this is the demon token that spawns. So that's what Tom sees with his Hood variant. But you actually have, the card that you have is this one here.
Yeah.
So you showed me that variant today. So it's a really cool variant. I really like it. It's really, really cool. But then you're right. The issue is you're still just getting this regular art token. So I guess you would expect, and maybe not expect, but you would like it if you also got an artwork on the token. Like maybe of the same style. I just think
it'd just be cool to, like, I mean, it just means they have to do artwork multiple times.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
Well, you say multiple times.
How many tokens really are there? There's not a whole lot. You know, there's a fair bit, but not, you know, a substantive amount. So I wouldn't think it'd be that big a deal.
So I think I like your idea. I think it wouldn't, they have to come up with the artwork, of course, but I don't think it's unreasonable to expect the token to also have some sort of, even if it's not a variant, something different. Justin, what's your thoughts on it?
I think it's unreasonable to expect that the token should be the same artwork as the variant, or the same style artwork as the variant, because I'll tell you why.
Here we go.
These guys, the developers, they are saying that this variant costs $15 Australian.
Yep.
Right? They're putting $15 as a price on their time and effort to design and do the artwork for this one card or one variant.
Okay.
If this card comes with a token that also needs new artwork, then maybe they should increase that price because you're getting two for the price of one. And then also, where does that end? If we're going to Storm, for instance, Storm, should we have locations that are different artworks that match the character? Or if we're going for cards like Thanos, you know, I know he's not really in the game yet. He's got six different tokens. Are we going to make a new artwork for each one of those tokens for each style variant that he has?
You know,
I'm not sure about it.
It's I think Justin's just giving some more monetization ideas. Imagine Thanos variant, and you got to pay for all six tokens, just like $100 variant.
It's only fair. It is only fair.
I think we kind of, like, Tom and I had, like, we discussed it very briefly, and I kind of said, yeah, like, I guess that makes sense. Like, you get a variant token, but then straight away, first thing came in my head, do you pay to, like, so there's, in a lot of games, you get a cosmetic and then you can pay a currency to upgrade the cosmetic. So, like, let's say, for instance, in Marvel Snap, my example would be you get the Hood variant, then you can pay an extra, like, 500 gold to get the token variant, and then you could turn that on and off. So you can have, like, don't have the variant and then you do have the variant on the token. So there's pretty much any game now with cosmetics kind of do that. They have like a currency where you can upgrade your cosmetic and like turn on features or like colors or things like that. So I guess that could be something they could do, because I guess you're right. They have to pay someone to actually create the artwork. So it wouldn't make sense that you get two artworks for the price of one.
I don't know.
I'd be happy if it came, like you just said, Richie, pay an extra 300-400 gold and you can upgrade it to the variant artwork. And I would be fine with that because I probably wouldn't pay it, but at least it's an option.
Get this. You ready? Sorry, I'm giving Second Dinner more ideas. Again, just, you know, give us a shout out if you use them. So you give them a variant. They get a mystery variant of the hood. And then it encourages them to pay the extra 500 gold to buy the variant token.
That is true.
Even if you discounted the tokens
and made it 500,
200 gold. 200. If that was 200 gold, I reckon I'd buy it.
Yeah, but we're saying that they've got to pay someone the same amount of money to do the artwork. So it doesn't sound feasible to make it to, let's say 500 maybe, like a slight discount because you've already had to pay for the original one. But yeah, I guess you're right. Like maybe a discount on the token. But I like the upgrade idea because then it doesn't force you. Like if you get a mystery variant, it would suck if like they blocked anything with a token. So maybe my idea, you can upgrade it and then choose if you want to use the token or not.
And then would there be upgrades?
But like, other cards?
Would you be able to get a mystery variant as a token as well? Because that'd just be annoying.
Well, let's say you could have the regular card with the variant token. Like, if you got the variant token, like, I guess you could use it with other, like, your normal base card. I don't know. I mean, that's probably the only way I can think of them doing it.
Like I said, it's not an issue at all. It's just something I thought of.
It's not an issue, but going back to your point, it does look so
strange,
like, dumb.
Yeah,
strange.
Like, you've got this
that, like, you've got this cool, especially if you've paid for it, you've got like this cool variant that's like this awesome art style, and then spawns a token and it's just
like
normal.
Yeah, like base artwork. Yeah, it is. Because the thing with the hood especially is your goal is to get rid of the hood. you actually want to get rid
I
of the card.
Destroy it every game.
So it's you see it for maybe a turn, maybe 2 to 3 turns if you're lucky, and then you kill it. So I think it's an interesting point. I hadn't really seen it come up, but it definitely makes sense. Like, you're going to have all these tokens in the game, and there's probably only going to be more to come that are just going to have no special artwork, which kind of sucks because, I mean, Demon is a really cool card. Like, I mean, it doesn't really do much, but the artwork's really cool.
Previously on
Snap-Who. Oh, yeah, I used this on you, didn't I? I apologize.
Yeah, that was
the Demon.
Yeah, the
so
Demon.
Bad.
I did too.
That was when you just, like, I remember you're like, oh, we're not going to do pull 3 cards. Then you say the Demon. Like, it wasn't even a pull 3 card. It was a token of a pull 3 card.
So technically, what you're saying is loophole. It was technically not a pull 3 card. It was spawned by a pull 3 card. I win. Okay. So I guess variants, yep, cool. I'm loving the artwork of the variants. Maybe down the line I might purchase a few. We will see. You know what? Here's what I'm going to say. When I get a widescreen PC client where it fills my screen and I can like make videos and not have to worry about chopping up the mobile version, I will buy a variant.
We'll hold you to that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. I actually would love it. Like, I'd love to have the variant.
Binding contract.
Because I'll probably end up buying one before that. But the thing is, like, we like cosmetics. Like, it's not that we're against purchasing cosmetics. Like, Tom and I have purchased cosmetics in like a range of games. Justin, I don't know, you maybe not Call of Duty?
No. My thing is always, why would I change the looks of something if it doesn't make me play better? Rather than progress the game.
No, but it does. When you got that mad weapon skin, your brain just, the endorphins fly and you just play better.
When I got in Valorant, I guarantee I was playing much better.
There we go.
It did look pretty cool.
My thing is definitely with cosmetics is it's just like, if I'm playing a free game and I'm giving you no money, then it's like, how do I expect you to continue making this game? That's my thing. Like, if I'm dropping, if Hearthstone are forcing me to pay $100 every 3-4 months to stay competitive, I'm like, why am I against paying $15 for a game that I play, like another game that I play all the time?
Yeah, but I'm not opposed to giving them money. I'll give them my money. I buy the season pass and I'm happy to give them my money. But when I have when they have my money and I have their gold, I'm still not buying a variant. I'm buying credits to progress the game.
Yeah. For in Marvel Snap, I'm thinking, I guess, like just in general, like in Valorant, we don't really buy season passes or anything, but I'm happy to buy like a skin bundle, like a knife skin once because here's some, like, it's like I bought the game. Like, this is me buying the game for you, like paying for the game sort of thing. Cool. Well, that is variants. Any more on variants, guys? Or pretty solid. I liked the token idea that Tom. Well, it wasn't even an idea. It was just a discussion that you wanted to have. Yeah, an observation.
Well, I literally got it yesterday or today or something really recently. So I just thought of it as I was doing it. I'm like, wait a second, this is the same. So
yeah, for sure. Well, guys, it's everybody's favorite time. It is time to play Snap Who. Guys, in chat, has the game launched yet? I'm wondering, maybe the game's launched. Maybe we can get a game launch right before we finish up. Probably not. So we are currently at, we've got the tally here. For those who haven't played Snap Who, basically, who's asking who today? Tom's asking. The rules of the game are... we will have a Marvel Snap card. Tom today is going to read the ability of the card. It will then be my job to guess the energy cost, the power, and the name of the card. And then each week we rotate and we ask a different person a card. You get a point for each thing you get right. So you can get a maximum of 3 points each time. So currently Tom is on 8 points. I am on 7 and Justin is on 7. Unfortunately, Tom only got 1 point last week, so he's on 8, but me and Justin could jump ahead of him currently. So, Tom, what is the card? Well, not what's the card. What's the ability of the card you've chosen this week?
Okay.
No looking at chat. I won't be looking at chat. Here we go.
On reveal.
Yep.
Afflict your other cards at this location with -1 power.
Okay, say it again.
On reveal, afflict your other cards at this location with -1 power.
Inflict your other cards at this location with -1 power. Oh, this is actually really hard. So, there is a bunch of cards that do things like this. Now, here's my thought process. I think someone played Hazmat against me today, and that was all cards get -1, so it won't be that. So you said on reveal your cards at this location.
Afflict your cards at this location with -1 power.
Okay. Now I know there's another card that gives your opponent's cards +2 power at that location. And I think I want to say that's a Red Skull. And then and then there's one other card that does. Oh, I know what it is. I've got it. It's don't tell me if I'm right because I'm actually not entirely sure. But
Justin,
I think it's.
Do you know? I can't read your poker face.
I think it's,
yeah, I do. I
think
do.
It's. Okay. I think it's Typhoid Mary, and because she is 10 power. But I'm just thinking of her ability. Inflict your other cards with -1 power. Typhoid Mary, 10 power. Oof, what's the energy cost? For 10 power, it would have to be a 5 cost card. That is my final answer.
Are you sure?
No, but I'm going to lock it in.
Unfortunately.
Did I butcher it?
You absolutely butchered it.
Wait, hang on. Let me think. Don't tell me now. I'm getting 0 points.
Let's look up Typhoid Mirror.
Typhoid Mirror is a 410, and it's it's ongoing. Your other cards have -1 power.
That's
not as ridiculous.
You said on review, inflict your cards with -1 power.
Yeah.
Okay, so not your opponents, because if it was your opponents, I'd know what it is. Inflict your cards with -1 power. Is it?
Rip.
I actually.
You have no idea
I've
what it is.
I've got no idea what it
like,
is.
When you started clicking,
you look like you got it, and you said Typhoid Mary.
It's so close. It's almost the same thing.
It is close, but you didn't even like consider, because you mentioned Red Skull, like you didn't even consider this card. So I don't think I don't think it's very. I haven't really seen it played. I don't know about you, Justin.
Watch it be a card. It's going to be a card I don't have. It's going to be a card I don't have.
I don't have it. Yeah.
All right. I have it.
I'll bring it up. I'll bring it up. What is it? Just tell me the name so I can bring it up while you say the rest.
It is Yellow Jacket.
Oh, I don't have
zero,
this card.
Zero cost for two power.
Oh, this is... What an awful card. What? Why would you run this? Is there a world where you run this? Okay, yeah, Lockjaw. No, you're right. Yeah, but you still inflict your card. Yeah, but I... Okay. Interesting. Ooh. Yellow Jacket. So, yeah, zero cost, two power, card ability. On reveal, afflict your other cards at this location with minus one power. I was never getting that.
You know what? That was bad. So funny to watch. And this is karma for when you did the Falcon Beast thing to me. He did the same thing where he goes, I'm not going to pick a pull three card. And then he just picks a pull three card.
Do you know what happened?
You've never seen before.
Do you know why? Because I don't think about this prior. And so then I quickly scramble before the podcast to find a card to give you. And then I always just like don't look at what it is. Yellow Jacket. You know what? I'm gonna use this card this week. I'm gonna make sure I can't. I don't even have it.
make a video about it.
I'm gonna make a Yellow Jacket, the ultra Yellow Jacket deck. Oh, that's funny.
I looked up before just because I wasn't sure if it was in pool two or pool three.
Yeah, but it is pool three. Definitely.
I looked up Yellow Jacket pool two. And yeah. Then literally, it was a YouTube video how to get rid of yellow jackets around your pool.
So, that's so funny.
It is a pool three card.
That's so funny. Yeah, I think, yeah, that was a good one. This card looks absolutely awful. I guess, yeah, it's got one use Lockjaw, hey? That's
so
bad.
Justin has the ability to jump both of us.
Both of us. That is correct, Tom. You're ahead of me now. That's very, very good stuff.
I was very happy with that.
Pretty happy with that.
When you guess Typhoid Mary and you got so excited, I felt so bad. It was so funny at the same time.
I'm annoyed because Typhoid Mary essentially does the same thing, but it's just not on reveal. It literally does the same thing. It's negative one to
different.
It's negative one to your cards at the location.
No, not at your location. Typhoid Mary is just all your cards have negative one power.
Yep. So it's a little bit worse. Wow. Wait, why would you use Yellow Jacket over Wasp?
Why would you use Yellow Jacket over? Because you can play Yellow Jacket at a location that has no cards, and you just get a 0/2.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. And I guess you're right. Such an awful card.
I've never seen it being played.
Because my thing with zero cost cards is the whole point is you want to surprise your opponent at like turn 5 or 6. So that just makes him even worse. Interesting card. I'm probably going to remember that ability for the rest of my life. But that is another round of Snap Who. I'm currently on 7 points. Tom is now on 8 points. Justin is on 7 points, but he has played one less round than us. So he will have a chance next episode. The global launch will be here. You will have the chance to jump both of us and get in the lead.
I feel like you're going to pick something so dirty, like a... Like a token, like a tiger or something, or like a, I don't know.
It's going to be like a Magic the Gathering card.
Yeah, you're probably going to pick like an Infinity Stone that the card isn't even released yet.
Yeah, I'm going to pick like an unreleased card just to troll you. All right. Yeah. Well, guys, that is everything we have for this week's episode. Unfortunately, I forgot to address that we lied to you guys. That was the first thing I was going to address. So I said last week that last week would be the last episode before global launch, which is not true because the game still hasn't launched. I was confident that it would have launched at the time that the game usually resets all your missions and stuff, which would have been... What, 6 hours ago, 8 hours ago? But unfortunately, that is not the time frame that they had in mind. The problem was we didn't actually get given an exact time that the game would launch. Now, I don't know if that was like strategic. Like maybe that was strategic in that I heard someone mentioning, I think, I actually don't know who said it, but someone joked about like avoiding DDoS attacks. And even if that was a joke, it's kind of true. Like if they don't know when
what does that mean?
Justin, the tech,
so confused.
Justin, the tech boomer. DDoS attack is when like someone floods the server with people connecting to it, so it crashes.
Oh, fair enough.
So if they know what time the game launched, they could just like completely flood it with people trying to log into Marvel Snap, or essentially just like access the server, and then that would just mean no one else can because it just dies.
So
that's like it would kind of be strategic to avoid something like that because. I mean, you can count, it's countless how many games have just been, launches been just plagued with errors because someone has, like, decided to ruin the launch for everyone. I think even, like Overwatch's launch in the last few weeks, like, they claimed DDoS attacks because the wait time to get in was so long. I don't know if that was just them being unprepared or if that was actually the case. But yeah, hopefully, guys, the game would have launched by the time you listen to this. So go and have fun. You guys will all be playing Marvel Snap. Everyone will finally have access to it. It's no longer gatekept. It's no longer being gatekept by the beta testers. So that's going to be tons of fun. Justin, any last words?
Yeah, super pumped for global launch. Keen to have heaps of new people in on the game.
Yeah.
Get rid of some of the bots, even though I haven't seen as many lately. But just, yeah, keen to get like a wider spread community and heaps more content and, guides online or just people supporting the game. So it should be good.
It's going to be good. We didn't even touch on that. But yeah, I feel like way less bots in the last few weeks, which has been very enjoyable. Tom, any last words?
Nothing from me.
Nothing from Tom, as always. Guys, we will enjoy the episode if you're listening to it after the live stream. Have fun with the game. Enjoy it. There's tons of content coming out from a bunch of different content creators, so there should be plenty of beginner stuff coming out. I made a beginner video as well just to get everyone up to speed. I feel like we've had so long with the game now that it just feels like it's, even though we're going global launch, it doesn't feel like a new game to us right now because we're not getting any new features, but there's so many people that are experiencing it for the first time. So that's really exciting, guys. Have fun with it. We will see you on the next episode. We'll finally be able to talk about global launch. Maybe we'll get some tweets and things like that from new players to see if they're how they're experiencing the game, if they have any complaints already. Guys, we'll catch you next time. See you, boys.
See
you. And we'll see you guys next week. I forgot my I can't find my button.